We hear you. We got you. Step into a world of endless possibilities with Imagine's expanded software support. Now you can utilize your folders of photos to create a profile or edit. Post-production is easier than ever. Whether you're using Lightroom, Photoshop, or Bridge, Imagine seamlessly integrates with your workflow. Open the Imagine app today and try starting from a folder instead of Lightroom Classic.
Yeah, we actually started dating after WPPI last year. So, yeah. So what happens when everybody goes home and you're stuck with just one person who's left and you're like, let's go have dinner. And then almost a year later, you're dating.
Workflows is a podcast about saving you time and money in your photography business. As a photographer and content creator who struggles with dyslexia, color blindness, introversion, and anxiety stemming from years of being bullied as a child, workflows have been my rock. I have workflows for every aspect of my life, and that's why I'm so happy to bring you Workflows, a podcast presented by Imagine. As a company dedicated to saving you time and money in your photography business, it makes sense to enhance and expand the conversation to all things workflows. Tune in and subscribe to hear stories, strategies, and tools that could be your rock. Hear from people just like you. Put the camera down for a little, connect the headphones, and get to work with Workflows. Get in on the conversation by joining the Imagine community today. Imagine the possibilities.
Susan Stripling has been photographing weddings, portraits, and theater for almost 18 years. Her work has been published in countless outlets, including magazines like Martha Stewart Weddings and newspapers like the New York Times and ads like Epson, Canon USA, and Imagine. Susan has won the Grand Award in Wedding Photojournalism and the Grand Award in Weddings at WPPI. She also holds the prestigious Grand Master status at WPPI. She has been named one of the top 10 wedding photographers in the world by American Photo Magazine and is the original founder of The Wedding School, which brings real, honest education to wedding photographers worldwide. Susan happens to also be one of our talents here at Imagine, offering her editing style in a talent AI profile called Clean and Crisp. Without further ado, here's my conversation with my friend, Susan Stripling. Susan Stripling.
Yes. Hello.
How are you?
I am hanging in there, about one wedding away from getting a little bit of time off. So
nice.
Definitely doing pretty good.
Nice. Nice. Oh, we're going to be talking about time off and stuff like that, I'm sure.
I figured that was a good intro into time saving, all of that yeah. Good Imagine stuff.
Yeah. So this is episode 15 of the podcast, mm-hmm. but it's the first episode of season 2 of the podcast.
That's so exciting.
Yeah. We decided that we're going to do basically an 11 season from here on, basically. So we're going to do February to December every year and just keep it consistent and have some fun with it. So
nice.
Yeah, this is season 2. Very exciting. And I'm glad that I was able to get you on this episode to kick off the season. And
yeah, we've only been trying to schedule this for how many months now?
It's so funny. It's so
embarrassing,
funny.
But we're here. We made it.
We made it. Looks like we made it. Whoa. So you just had a birthday. Happy birthday.
I did. It was very low key. I took a really big nap and ate pizza and was in bed by 10 p.m. It was great.
You're making me want to have pizza for dinner. So
this one of my favorite restaurants in Baltimore, they opened kind of like a second restaurant bar thing. And it's all, the menu looks like it was made by like a college student when they were on substances. It's all gross food. They have a macaroni and cheese pizza, which is literally Velveeta mac and cheese on top of the pizza. A fried bologna sandwich. One of their sandwiches involves white bread and potato chips. But the reason I went was for the pickle pizza, which is just a lovely pizza with a lot of pickles on it. And it was glorious. Yeah.
Okay. I would try that. I like pickles. I like pizza. I don't think my wife would try it. So I'd have to eat it all myself. But
that's not a problem. Okay. It's not a huge pizza. You'd be okay.
All right, so next time I'm in Baltimore, we're going there, and we're going to do this.
That's fine with me. That would be pretty great. So, yeah, come on over.
Awesome. Okay, so let's dive into the first question. It's the same question ask every single guest.
Okay.
What is one thing that you do for the photographic process behind the camera that has saved you time?
Ah, that's actually a very good question. Really, the biggest thing that I've done to save time is just get better at photography. Because if I'm not having to crop and adjust exposure and adjust white balance and all of that in post, everything is significantly faster. So actually, can I have a second part to my answer? Can I have a two-part answer? All right.
Yeah.
Not only getting better at photography in terms of exposure and all of that and composition, but being more deliberate with how I shoot. So I'll come back from an eight-hour wedding with 2,400 images to cull at the most. I used to come back with a lot more than that. I know photographers who shoot thousands, sometimes tens of thousands. But I want things to be sleeker and easier on the back end. And slowing down, being more deliberate, being very precise with each exposure, when I come back and I look through my images, I'm already a huge chunk of the way there. So that's honestly the biggest thing I've done.
It's funny.
And I keep working on it. I keep, you know, every time I blow an exposure by a half stop or something like that, I'm like, oh, that's a second. I could have taken an extra second and gotten that better. We'll get there. My goal is to come back from a wedding with almost no outtakes and everything being almost perfect. So maybe in like 20 years, I'll hit that goal. I don't know. It's a far off goal.
So I think you might know this about me, but I train in karate. I study a form of karate called Goju-ryu. And I hurt my elbow last night, by the way. I'm kind of, it was a 2-hour fighting class. And I'm a little
probably
little
while I was eating pickle pizza and not working out at all. So,
And we have like our slogan there is to strive for excellence. Like, you're never going to achieve perfect, but all you can do is keep working at it. So if it takes 20 years and you're just keep working at it, that's all you can do is keep getting better.
Absolutely.
You don't want to go the opposite direction. You want to keep getting better. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. And I specifically recall hearing you say something along what you just said at WPPI during your photo walk.
Probably, yes. Probably said exactly that.
So, that's pretty good. You're very consistent with that answer. It's great.
Well, I hate wasting time on anything in my personal life, anything in business, and I'm thinking like, why did I leave this like this or do this like this? Now I've made a bigger problem for myself. I say this as my eyes cut sideways and I look at the dishes in the sink and I should have put them in the washer last night. But that's, that's another, we're striving for excellence. We're not excellent yet.
Yeah.
Getting there.
Never look at the sink. Never.
No.
Yeah. So what is now one thing you do for your business, not editing, what is one thing you do for your business that has saved you either time or...
I have a studio manager who works for me. She's worked for me for a long time. She works from home. She doesn't come into an office or anything. We actually don't live anywhere near each other. And not only does she do album design, she does everything that eats up minute bits of time for me. Because when you've been doing this for a long time and you've got clients that have kind of been... I mean, sometimes people will resurface after a handful of years. And when you've been doing this for 20 years, a handful, it's a lot of people that sometimes reach out for things. I just forward those emails to her. And for me, it's not so much about getting back large chunks of time. It's about getting back minute bits of time that then add up to large chunks of time. So like this morning, I forwarded her an email of someone that wanted to download their images from a wedding that was like 8 years ago. And I have the link, but it's in my old gallery system, so I'd have to go find it. I don't really remember when their wedding is. And maybe it would take me 10 minutes, but it took me 3 seconds to forward the email to her. So she does a lot of that stuff for me. And then I try to, as much as possible, pre-plan a lot of my social media posts. And I'll plan them and schedule them out so that I don't have to think about every single day what I'm going to post.
Yeah.
And
Are you using a specific tool for the scheduling?
I'm using something called Plann, P-L-A-N-N. Okay. And the reason I like Plann is you can integrate it with your CloudSpot online gallery, because that's what I use to deliver to clients. So if I put up a folder of sneak peeks, which is usually how I start my gallery to clients, they get a sneak peek and it's got their link in it. And then later when all of the rest of the images go up, they're still under the same link. In Plann, when it says, what image do you want to prep or post or whatever, do you want to get it from a Dropbox, from your computer? Do you want to upload it now? Do you want to get it from one of your CloudSpot galleries? I'll be like, my CloudSpot gallery. And that way I can really easily just go and access like their sneak peeks, their previews, whatever,
right,
without having to constantly be uploading something new to a new system. And I love it when things integrate. So yeah, what I'm actually looking at, well, I was supposed to actually do it earlier this week, but I didn't because I'm about to have some downtime planning out a couple months of social media posts, but I've been watching movies instead. So,
what movies?
We'll get there.
What are some of the movies?
I mostly just watch horror movies. I don't know why. But what did I watch the other day? I watched a movie from the 80s called Possession, which was very strange. Not scary, just weird. And then I watched Smile the other week. The one with that really creepy viral marketing campaign where at one point I actually got mad at the movie and I was like, we have to turn it off. We have to turn it off because it was actually kind of freaking me out. And Bill was like, what is wrong with you? And I was like, it's just scaring me, okay? But we persevered through and then the ending sucked, but the endings always suck. That's fine. It's like they do
Bill.
Really great scary movies and then they don't know how to close them. So yeah, but Smile actually ended pretty well.
I refuse to watch that one.
It's like super traumatizing because now anytime anyone I don't know is like smiling at me, I'm like, you have a demon in your body.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, hadn't had a movie creep me out since I watched. Did you ever see It Follows?
No, I'm not a big horror fan.
Don't watch that one either. Cause then you'll think that anyone walking down the same street as you is out to get you. So be great. Also possessed with a demon. So that's the theme of our talk today, apparently.
Yeah, let's talk about horror films and demons on this episode of Workflows.
Correct.
So speaking of Bill, how are things with Bill going?
I love him. He's lovely. He just moved in here.
Fun.
I know. It was very exciting. Yes, he is absolutely lovely. And we also have a very like similar philosophy about shooting, which is like get it all right in camera and shoot as minimally as possible. So it's really nice to kind of be with someone who's in the same, like looks at work the same way you look at work. And he's just funny and lovely and talented and weird. I think weird is the most important part, but he makes me laugh like every single day. So he's a delightful human. I'm looking forward to bringing him to WPPI and subjecting him to all of my friends.
Well, he was there last year.
Yeah, but now I want to introduce him to everybody and like just inundate him with social activity. Nice. Not parties. I don't do parties. But yeah, we actually started dating after WPPI last year. So yeah. So what happens when everybody goes home and you're stuck with just one person who's left and you're like, let's go have dinner. And then almost a year later, you're dating.
Yeah.
So
living together.
Yes. And it's so funny. I was like, I'm never going to live with anybody ever again. I'm never going to live with anybody. Like I'm going to be single forever. I love being single because I was single for like 3 years. And it was great. And then here this guy is, and he's great and like lovely and changed my mind about all of this stuff. And I find myself saying, do you want to move in here? And I'm like, who am I? But my therapist tells me I'm fairly well adjusted. So so it's a good thing. We still have the Christmas tree up because I don't want to take it down. But yeah, he is a delight and everyone should know him.
I love the fact that he dedicates part of his business to charity.
Yes.
Like with the food.
And he's gotten me doing that as well. Like that was one of the first things that I, even before we, because we've known each other on and off for years. Mm-hmm. And that was the very first time I went to his website. That was one of the things that I really liked. And he's really passionate about it. Every time anyone books him, a portion of the proceeds goes towards, there's a food bank in Easton, Pennsylvania. And I've gone along with him to buy stuff for it. And like, he was able to help them buy a new freezer, like all of this great stuff. And then, you know, I just kept saying, I've always wanted to do something like this, but I don't know what to do. And he really pushed me
he saw
someone else doing something like that. And it was just a trickle down effect. And then I said, but I don't know what to do. I don't like people. And he, and he said, what do you like? And I said, I like dogs. So he helps people. I help dogs. So when I book a wedding, a portion of it goes towards kind of the biggest animal rescue here in Baltimore. So hopefully between the two of us,
you're saving a lot of lives, helping a lot of people and animals.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I would have 900 if that would not be insane.
Of course. You'd run out of names. There's only so many Taylor Swifts and those type of people to name your dogs after.
I love Taylor Swift, okay? And the funniest thing is when I, like, when I'm walking her and I meet other dogs on the street, or I'm walking her and my other dog and Bill's dog, mm-hmm. and, you know, people, we stop and we talk about our dogs. I'm like, we don't even introduce ourselves, we just introduce our dogs. And I'm like, this is Tikka, which is Bill's dog, named after Tikka Masala, like, super cute name. Mm-hmm. And this is my dog, this is Chloe, which is the name that she had when she came to us, she was a rescue. And I'm like, this is Tikka, this is Chloe, and this is Taylor Swift. And they're like, oh, did your kids name her? And I was like, yeah. No, me as a 43-year-old adult woman named her Taylor Swift all by myself.
Taylor
but mostly
Swift.
We call her Tater, because that just fits her demonic, bizarre little personality. But funny. Like, I yell Taylor Swift when I'm really mad at her, and that just makes it funny. Sometimes I call her by Taylor Swift's actual real name with her middle name, because Taylor Swift's middle name is Allison, which I can't believe this is a thing I know. So I will yell at my dog, Taylor Allison Swift, which makes no sense whatsoever, because that's not even...
Yeah.
But it definitely takes down the anger when she's pooped on the rug and I'm mad. Yes, her name is Taylor Swift.
I have no shame in saying I do enjoy Taylor Swift's music, especially the more recent stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, right? Less of the pop stuff, more of the... Like
the folklore, Evermore,
yeah.
lovely folksy
now,
stuff. Yeah.
Fun fact.
Tell me.
I grew up in high school and a little bit after high school. I was in the music scene. I was in bands. And some of the...
You've met
one
Taylor
of the bands,
Swift.
No, one of the bands... Okay. This is a weird connection. One of the bands that I was very friendly with, that one of the bandmates was actually in my high school with me, was in a band with Jack Antonoff, who's the producer.
Oh, yeah. Recent. Oh, I know who that is. Yeah.
So I've known Jack. I don't know him. Like, we're not friends anymore. Like, I haven't seen him in years since, like, he was in Fun and Steel Train and all these bands.
Do you have his cell phone number?
No, don't have his cell phone number. But.
Listen,
like,
I'm working my way towards Taylor Swift, okay?
but yeah, so there's that weird connection. I am connected to Taylor Swift. It's one of those Kevin Bacon type things, you know?
Oh my God. So. Jack Antonoff is like crazy talented.
He is
like
one of the most...
in like 900 bands. And
yeah, you have to listen to the first band he was in. I'll have to send you some of the music.
Please do. I would enjoy
punk.
That.
It's like punk.
Bill would love that. I think Bill listened to music and then stopped listening to music in like the late 90s. So he has a time capsule of like Green Day and like that whole era.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we'll be here because I own the building that I live in with my two best friends and we have a pool table downstairs. So we'll be down there playing pool and we like to like watch YouTube videos while we're playing pool. And Bill never knows who anybody is. And it is the funniest thing ever. He'll be like, oh yeah, this band. And he's like, nope, not a clue. So, but yeah, I'm catching him up on Taylor Swift. So we're all right.
I'd much rather listen to some of the stuff from the 90s, early 2000s than a lot of the stuff that's now, but you know.
Yeah, but the videos now are very entertaining and videos are like so much better than they used to be.
Yeah.
Which is funny because we were talking about how like you have to go on YouTube or Vimeo or whatever to watch videos when we used to just sit around and watch them on MTV.
Yeah.
And now MTV doesn't show videos. So
right.
It's fine. But if you come play pool with us, we have a YouTube playlist, so we play videos in the background and then play pool.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll be there.
In all of the time that I've saved, I do really productive things like play pool. And then we bought a skee ball machine, so we are fully adults.
Yes.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
Speaking of saving time.
Do you like how I brought it back? I brought it back.
Besides from Imagine, what is one thing you do for editing that has saved you time?
Photo Mechanic.
We're going to get to Imagine, so I don't want you to...
I'm using Photo Mechanic. A lot of people call in Lightroom or whatnot, but Photo Mechanic is just, it has been my go-to culling software. It just, your previews are up like that. Mm-hmm. It's so fast to go through it. And it's such a basic program, but it's my absolute favorite. So Photo Mechanic. Love
it. Awesome. Okay. One more question before I have a surprise question for you.
Oh, God. Okay.
What is one thing you do after a session that has increased business?
After a session that has increased business. Getting previews this out really quickly. I used to think, I'd be like, what's the point of doing a sneak peek when I could just edit the wedding a little bit faster? But if I edited the wedding a little bit faster, it's like an influx of a lot of images. So after an engagement session or a portrait session or a wedding, I try to get a gallery of previews out to them within like a day or two. And we're not talking a ton. We're talking like maybe 50, 60 images so that they can start sharing them. And that's actually been really big. And I send it to all of the vendors because I collect a list of vendors before the wedding day. And the previews go out to everybody. So I'm pretty much giving people social content right away when they're very, very excited. And I thought, God, this is like so much extra work on my part. It's not. And it's not going to work, whatever. It's going to be like a waste of time. And it actually isn't, because it's putting professional images in people's hands at the time that they're usually just posting cell phone images.
Are you asking for them to credit you, like to mention you when they share it on Facebook or whatever?
Or yeah,
you
just like just tag me.
Yeah.
And honestly, most people now, like the rules of tagging have been pretty ingrained in people, especially other wedding vendors, that it's generally not a problem.
Are you walking your dog while listening to this episode? Take a moment and pull up Lightroom on your phone. Share a recent photo, imagine edited in your style. Share it on Instagram using the hashtag ImagineAI and caption it with your thoughts on this podcast episode. So I started doing this about 3 episodes ago.
Okay.
And I'm now doing it on live streams when we have guests as well. And it's fun. Okay.
Phenomenal. Great. Great.
Pick a color deck.
Oh, no. Orange.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Oops. That was a loud noise.
How dare you?
Okay. I'm going to start shuffling through. You tell me when to stop, okay?
Okay.
There you go. Tell me
stop.
When. Okay. My next question to you is...
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
You just picked this card, so you can't blame me.
I did. Okay, you're right. I did this to myself.
All right. You got this one. You got this one in the bag. What does your typical Friday night look like?
It's so freaking boring. It's so funny. It's like, I expect, you know, people are going to get this question on like a normal podcast interview and it's going to be like, and I went to the bar and I did this. My Friday night is sitting around in my jammies charging batteries for my wedding the next day.
You can't charge them when you're not in your jammies. You got to be in your jammies.
I mean, to be clear, I'm also from the waist down in my jammies currently. So, no, the goal is never wear real pants again. 2020 has taught us you do not need to buckle any kind of pants ever. I mean, honestly, Friday night is and dating another wedding photographer is very similar. We charge our batteries. I go looking for missing lens caps because for some reason I'm always missing lens caps.
Always.
Yeah. Make sure that the way I give my timeline to my assistants, I used to print them out, but I would always lose them. And sometimes there's like, I'll make notes on there that I don't really want to leave like laying around. Like if there's sensitive family situations and like people don't talk to each other, it's written down on the timeline. And I would hate for someone to pick it up and be like, oh my God, they told her that like so-and-so and so-and-so don't talk to each other and like whatever. I make a note on my laptop, like just using notes, and you can share your notes with anyone you want to share them with.
Yep.
And so I'll share my note with my assistant. And one of the things on the note is like the family formals, and we can actually check them off. So I'll go through my note. I'll make sure my note is correct. And then we usually watch Impractical Jokers and then fall asleep.
Nice.
But I can't believe I'm about to say this is the oldest thing I'm going to say. We've gotten really into Jeopardy lately. So.
Okay.
Yeah, but it comes
it's educational.
On at 7. So Jeopardy comes on at 7, so we can still be in bed on time. Yep. So yeah, my Friday nights are wild. They're just wild.
But you know what? You get to chill out, relax, because you have all this extra time thanks to things that we'll talk about.
Hey, you brought it right back around again. Well done.
Yeah. Okay. So before we get into that kind of topic, okay. This is going to be a deep one that Uh-oh. Will probably make you want to think about for a little bit. But
oh, no.
Take a look at your business from a 30,000 foot view down.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Can you share an outline breakdown of your workflow from lead to delivery?
Yes,
all
I
right.
can. So when a lead comes in, all of my leads come in through Tave, which is my studio management software. I generally don't like to call leads because I hate the phone. And also, like, for example, right now I'm trying to hire a dog trainer and everyone wants to talk on the phone first. I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to talk on the phone to everybody. I just want to tell you my dog is weird and have you come fix it. She's so weird. It's like, what's wrong with your dog? She's just weird. I don't know. She's strange. So I'll email the lead back It includes a link to my pricing. A lot of times, and I close out my email with, you know, let me know how you'd like to connect further, whether you want to get on the phone, please don't say the phone, or Zoom, or more emails, you know, just let me know. And it usually goes one of two ways. I never hear from them again, or they want to schedule something to chat further. Whether they want to do phone or Zoom, I don't really meet people in person much anymore because there's not a whole lot of a point. We're also used to meeting online now. Right. We'll have a meeting, talk through the process and everything. And a lot of times, if they do want to have a meeting, I've got about like a 75% close rate after a meeting because they've seen my prices. And if they want to talk, they either want to hire me or it's between like me and somebody else. So we talk, and then I, using Tave, send out a contract and they can sign and pay right online because I don't think anything should hold up people from being able to book you. I don't think they should have to write a check, find a stamp, anything like that, fax machine, any of the above. Okay, so then there is one of my clients said that their venue only got, you could only send them paperwork by fax. Hey, and I'm like, okay, how do you, okay, sure, why not?
There's a reason why HelloFax exists, you know.
Correct. Like, so
that's the reason.
It's like, you know, we do have a more modern version of faxing. It's called emails.
Email.
Just email it to you. But once a client is booked in Tave, I have multiple emails that go out between booking and the wedding itself. And it's mostly just check-in emails because for every single client, if I want to check in every 6 weeks or so, and I have to put it on my calendar and remember to send the email, I just have it scheduled in Tave to go out, you know, just check-ins. How are things going? Do you need any help with your timeline? Things like that. So it's touch points along the way. At about 6 weeks out, I send them a wedding day worksheet, which covers a lot of details of the day. And usually by this point, I know a lot of this information, like timelines and photo lists and things like that. But it helps me put it all in one place. And I get that. We usually do a final phone call just to make sure that everything that I've read in the worksheet is actually what they intended. And then from there, I create the note, send it to my assistant. I don't often work with second photographers, but I always work with an assistant. And if I do have a second photographer, they get the note also. Let's see. That brings us up to the wedding, which I go to and shoot. And then I come home. I download the same night as the wedding. This is all providing I get home before like 12:30 a.m. If it's after 12:30 a.m., we're doing this in the morning because I'm very tired. But I usually have a lot of adrenaline when I get home just from having worked all day and having loud music blasting in my ears for the last like 4 hours. So if at all possible, and about 95% of the time it is possible, I download and call on the same night. And that's something that Charmy and I, actually, I know you talked to Charmy, she and I both do this. Mm-hmm. If I wait at all to call the wedding, it is slower. If I shoot another wedding after this wedding, and then I have to go back and call this wedding, it takes twice as long.
Plus, you've now littered your memory of that wedding. So
if I go home and I call night of, and I've got like, here's the flower girl coming down the aisle. I will remember the first two shots, she wasn't doing much of anything. And then the next three shots, she was laughing. And it's just that little muscle memory from the day. I can call a wedding no matter how long it was in less than an hour. So I'll throw everything in Lightroom. Usually while everything is being thrown into Lightroom, I'll go take a shower, something like that. And then come back and I'll start my Imagine upload the same night. Then after that, like this is provided, if I only have one wedding on a weekend, if I have two, I throw it up into Imagine and then go to the wedding the next day. Also, while everything is uploading, I start my backups just so that I have the raw files backed up on drives. Then the next day, I just go ahead and download everything from Imagine. I'm like, then I'm doing this in pajamas holding a cup of coffee. I just download everything and then I set Lightroom to do my one-to-one previews so that I can go through it even faster. And a lot of times it'll be while drinking coffee the morning after a wedding, I'm skimming through everything in Lightroom. And I probably spend maybe an hour just kind of going through everything because like Imagine is amazing. Like we all know this, but it isn't completely in my brain because sometimes I'll shoot, like for example, if I've got a couple in front of a window, sometimes I want to blow it out. Sometimes I want to make it a silhouette.
Right.
And if my exposure is a little too much in the middle, of that imagines like, we're going to guess where you want to go with this one.
Yeah.
Other times it's right. But sometimes I'm like, you know what? I actually want to fix this and go the other direction.
Or yeah, it's not a replacement for you. It's not a replacement for you. It's still, you still have your creative control over everything.
Sometimes I'll throw a more of a vignette on something or a radial filter or, you know, mask out the background or something like that. But at this point, it's just fun because my exposures and my color and everything are absolutely just spot on. And it's going through and adding some little artistic touches. Once that is all done, I go back to Imagine. I upload the final edits. And then I create a virtual copy of every single image in my Lightroom catalog and desaturate them so that I have a color version and a black and white version of every single image. And then I export them all out, start uploading them to CloudSpot. And while that's going on, I throw all of the final images back into Photo Mechanic and pick the ones that I want to put up for previews. And that's pretty much it.
You said that you desaturate so you have a black and white version.
Yes.
I want to dig into that just real quick. Do you literally bring the saturation down or do you convert it to black and white?
I literally just bring the saturation down.
Is there a reason why you do that versus the other?
For some reason, it tends to look better.
Okay.
Interesting. I do not know why. I've tried different ways to do it, turning it black and white, running a preset on them, and literally just grabbing saturation, pulling it all the way down has given me the best looking conversion from color to black and white.
So why? Interesting.
I don't know. I'm not saying it makes sense, and I'm not saying everyone should do it, but it's for some reason the way that has given me the most consistent results.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, and everyone gets a color version and a black and white version of all of their images. So
Yeah. In Imagine, just for everybody listening, so imagine when you create your profile, you can say if it's a black and white or a color, right?
Mm-hmm.
The way that we identify if it's a black and white image to, like, if you make a black and white profile, it's going to ignore everything that's set to color.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you're in color and you just desaturate,
technically,
according to Lightroom and what Imagine reads, it's a color photo, not a black and white. So
it's
just
still a color photo. Yep.
Yes. So just as for listeners who are using Imagine, the desaturation method won't work as far as color versus black and white profiles. It has to actually be a black and white set image in Lightroom for Imagine. But anyway, I just want to make sure that I just find that interesting. You know, it's proof that there's so many ways to do the same thing. There's no wrong way. It's just you got to find what works best for you, and you found what works best for you. So,
and sometimes it's a little weird. Like, everybody's got something in their workflow that if you told your workflow to somebody else, they'd be like, okay. Yeah. But I've tried a bunch of different things, and simply a virtual copy and taking the saturation down looks best.
It's cool.
Who knows?
Hey.
There you go. Yeah.
So I'm now, like, later, when I have some time later, I'm going to open up Lightroom and play around, and I want to see the differences for myself because I've never done that before.
And honestly, tell me if you're, and I'm always tweaking and changing workflow. If you do that and you're like, actually, if you just do this simple other thing instead, let me know.
I'm going to play. Yeah. You gave me something to play with, so that's fun.
Why not? Sure.
Yeah. So my next question to you, and thank you for sharing so much detail. That was fantastic.
Hey.
So what does the future of AI in photography look like to you? It's a hard one.
It's funny. I
mean, if it's not something that you think much about, that's perfectly fine. You know,
I think about it and then I go into a depression spiral because I'm like, the one thing you really can't AI is things happening in real time with real people, like capturing these moments for people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you'd AI that. And then I go down a very deep rabbit hole of robots and, you know, my Amazon Alexa shooting a wedding for me and things like that. And I love AI. I do. Mm. I just wish it would kind of leave the arts alone. A little bit.
Interesting.
Because there are a lot of people using Midjourney and whatnot to create art.
Mm-hmm.
But is it really art they created? They just told a prompt to a computer. That's not, you didn't make it.
Right.
So I guess I'm old. This is, again, this is like my parents not understanding how to program TiVo back in the day, right? Like, because everything was on the DVR. I'm like, why are they doing this? This is stupid. Like, I think about it and then my brain blacks out and I end up somehow on climate change and the future and our planet burning and I try not to think about it anymore.
I saw a conversation about this and about like Midjourney and that kind of stuff, and one of the comments was like, don't tell them where John Connor is. And I was like, don't tell them where John Connor is. Yeah.
No, I guess I don't get it really. Yeah, it can do cool things, but you didn't make it.
Right.
Like, it required no artistic skill on your part to say, make me an image that is a bride in a veil standing in the catacombs in Paris smiling.
Yeah, yeah. I have fun playing around with it. I have been thinking about using it for something that I've been working on for a long time. Children's books. And I have two written that I'm like, do I pay an illustrator or do I now experiment with this, which could do it?
And
for
that's
me.
Where I have a hard time, which is like,
it's
and
fun.
Now there's AI for copy editing, and like,
yeah,
people are just gonna get edged out of the arts. And there are certain things that I don't mind being automated, or like, I never want to go through a human-manned cashier at a store. I would always rather check myself out. So
yes.
You could argue that's taking a job away from a person. But if I'm getting AI to illustrate for me and the illustrations are really beautiful, which they would be, mm-hmm. am I taking a job away from a creative? And that's where, as a creative, I start to just feel weird about it.
Yes. Yeah, there's that fine line of like, is it mm-hmm. is it good? Is it bad? Is it going to hurt people's lives? Or at the same time, like, sometimes it's just about something being fun. That's it.
Like, exactly.
A toy.
Exactly. 100%. I realized I took it to like a deep, dark place. But
no, it's okay.
Somehow we ended up on like polar ice caps melting and like and climate change. And why is it 65 degrees outside today? It's winter, but it's fine. It's a new interesting tool that I don't know how I feel about it yet. And I don't know what I always worry about the future of my job being taken away. But then I also realize that like, there are people out there still painting oil paintings of humans that people are hanging over their fireplaces, and they're actually doing them. They're not doing them through Photoshop or anything like that. So I think the thing about it, just the future of AI, just kind of makes me tired, because it's going to mean I'm just going to keep having to adapt and work even harder to stay relevant and keep getting work. And that's something that I know a lot of my friends who've been in the business like over 10 years, like the constant hustle is a little
much. So for those listening, if you're interested in this topic, in December 2022, I can't believe it's 2023 already. Like, December 2022.
What year is it? I told you, I forgot how old I was this morning. So it's fine. Time is a construct.
Yeah. So Imagine did a webinar with our CEO, Yotam, did a webinar with Amir, the CEO of PicTime. And the whole discussion was on AI in photography. So anybody who's interested in watching the replay of that webinar, it's on our YouTube channel. And this topic of Midjourney and its impact on photographers actually came up and was discussed by two, people in the
high-level professionals in the industry.
So definitely worth listening to if anybody is interested in that topic.
I am interested in that topic.
Yeah. So you are not just an Imagine user. You are someone who has created a profile that is being used by thousands of photographers worldwide.
That's so exciting. Which is really exciting.
Yeah. So we've been discussing time this entire episode. We've been discussing workflows. Imagine obviously plays a role in your workflow, as
Massive.
You've mentioned. How did Imagine impact your life?
You know, a lot of people will talk about like a software or something and be like, it changed my life. And you're like, okay, calm down. It did not change your life. But legitimately, Imagine changed my life. Like, on a financial level, it saves me a ton of money. I had been using a really incredible team of humans to edit my images before, mm-hmm. and they were fantastic. They did an incredible job, but I've saved thousands and thousands of dollars by using Imagine. And again, that's, you know, I feel kind of bad about, that's another discussion entirely for another day, but it has saved me a ton of money. It has saved me just, like, you can't, I can't even qualify, like, how much time it saved me. It is mind-boggling that if I really wanted to, I could deliver a wedding the day after the wedding in my pajamas, drinking coffee with minimal effort. Like, it's, and the fact that I can keep teaching it, it just keeps getting better and better and better. Yeah. It's also saved me so much stress. Like, I get the wedding done as fast as I can get it done, and I upload it, and then I sit on it for a couple of weeks, and it's not to create the illusion that it takes time to process these images. That's not it. It's that I don't want to create an unrealistic standard of my own turnaround times, because if I started turning around all my weddings within a week, I'll have weddings where I have travel, and I'm gone for a week, and or it's the middle of wedding season and it's going to take me a couple extra days to run these things through Imagine. I still tell people 6 weeks. I deliver it about 3 weeks at this point. But like my last wedding, let me look at my calendar. I had a wedding on, oh, hey, did you know I'm supposed to record a podcast today? All right. I had a wedding on December 11th mm-hmm. and it was in Florida and I drove down and I drove back.
You drove down to Florida?
Yeah. I have a camper van. Okay. So I drove the camper van down to Florida and it was really fun. I had a wedding on the 11th. I got back and like the morning of the 13th. The wedding was done by the evening of the 14th. Like done. And that involved driving back from Florida. I have a wedding this Saturday, which is technically I get the end of my season and then I have some time off. The wedding, I'm done with the wedding at like 8:30 Saturday night. By morning on Sunday, I will be completely caught up and done. And can close my computer and go on vacation if I want. Like it also just, not only is it a time saver, it is a workflow consolidator. Like it just chunks your workflow down into such a small amount of time. And combining that with the fact that I'm working even harder to shoot less, to do better in camera, imagine what it does, just finishes things off in a really nice way. And it, like the amount of spare time I have is almost embarrassing at this point. And I love it.
That's so good.
I know that like we harp on like, yeah, imagine, you know, saves you time. But when you shoot like 30-ish weddings a year and you add up the time that you've saved, it is absolutely mind blowing, honestly.
Yeah. On the topic of not having humans doing your editing anymore.
Yes.
Something that's been coming up a lot recently for wedding photographers that are in the same boat as you, that are doing still a lot of weddings every year.
Yeah.
And have an extremely high volume of work to go through. Some wedding photographers are now hiring humans solely to do their culling and or AI culling and their AI editing final touches.
Yeah.
Like not like just running it through Imagine, but like all the work after the fact.
Yes.
That, you know, like the fine, you know, blemish removal or the, you know, what you talk about with like the backlight adjustments and things like that. So people are still hiring humans just to do the final work.
Yeah.
So the humans still
have jobs. And that's what I talked about with like the people that I'd worked with before. I was like, I feel like while initially it looks like something like Imagine could put you guys out of business, I actually think it's a really unique business proposition for you because you can also use Imagine to run the images through. And then people still, there are people who do way more after the fact than I do, or even just after the fact, like to crop more or put more radial filters on things or whatnot. It is still, you know, can give them the ability to do more fine tuning for people. Yeah. Without having to spend so much time on just the raw processing bulk of stuff.
Yeah, we've been seeing some editing, you know, editing shops starting to add in like an AI finishing plan option to their packages and stuff. So as a way to like keep customers that they might have otherwise lost to imagine, which so like we're glad that as the world, you know, changes, that the editors are making their adjustments to what the world, where the world is going.
Yes.
So it's good. I mean, so yes, some are losing jobs, but at the same time, some are being ahead of the curve and doing what they need to, which is good.
And I mean, I think this is such a fantastic tool, because what it does is it does the stuff that nobody wants to do, like image by image, exposure tweaking, color tweaking. Oh my God. And it just takes that boring base level out and leaves you with a better place to start playing or tweaking. Yeah. Or if you want to spend more time on it, it's your workflow is not eating you alive anymore, because you're sitting there going, is this image the same color as this image? Let me go back over here. Let me go back over here. Like, it is actually shocking to me how, I mean, I'm choosing my previews now from the images that I've run through AI. Mm. And I used to edit all of my own previews myself. And I don't even do anything extra to them when I put them online. So everything that you see, like on my Instagram or blog or whatever, it's not really had anything else done to it. At most, like an extra radial filter, maybe. Yeah. But it sounds like a robot can't edit as well as I can. It's like, well, yeah, it can if you teach it how you edit.
Exactly.
It's just doing what I do just in about 10 minutes, which also, how is it that fast? You know what? Don't tell me. I want it to be a secret. I want it to be a secret. It's like, I don't turn the lights on. I don't want to know too much. But it's actually hilarious that I can upload it to AI, go take a shower, and come back, and it's like your edits are done.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay,
sometimes,
calm down.
Sometimes, like, if you're uploading multiple things at the same time, by the time everything is done uploading, like, the first project is already done.
Yeah, it's done. Yep. So I've done that before, and I'm like, hold, like, calm down. Yeah. Like, just calm down.
I'm in the process of preparing a catalog specifically for Imaging USA coming up this month. January, we're recording this. This episode's airing in February, so I'm sorry. I just screwed that up. But
sorry. I hope you had fun at Imaging USA. We'll talk about it in the past.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm preparing this catalog, and I'm like, I'm making like a talent preview, like different collections of all the same 8 photos edited with every talent profile.
Cool.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's all my client work, so I have the approval to do this and stuff, so it's no big deal. And so I prepared everything to batch upload. No joke, by the time it was uploaded, 100% of the projects were done. It was the craziest thing, and the last one took the most amount of time. It was so crazy.
Wild.
And it was only because the last one had cropping and straightening turned on as well, just to show that working too.
So that
one took longer. But like, it's so funny how that happens. It's so funny. Yeah. So speaking of Instagram and website, like you just were talking about.
Yes.
Where can listeners learn more about you? Connect with you. And of course, see your
on the World Wide Web. My website is just susanstripling.com. STRIPLING. And my Instagram is Susan Stripling Photography.
Awesome.
And that's that.
Thank you for hopping on, chatting with me. I'm glad we were able to make this work. Third time is the charm.
We did it. It happened. We did it.
For the record, one of the reasons we had to cancel was power went out. So
one of the other reasons was Susan can't read a calendar. Yeah, it's the point of year where wedding season is like, it's like right almost over. I'm working on one functional brain cell at this point. Yeah. Like, you can't see that I'm wearing my pajama pants and slippers. Like, I've had multiple cups of coffee. Like, there's a lot of under eye concealer going on right now to make me functional. Yes, we're limping to the finish line at this point. So.
Well, yeah. I'm so glad we were able to do this, and I look forward to seeing you at WPPI.
I was going to say, you're going to be at WPPI, right? We can hang?
Pretty sure I'll be at WPPI.
I'd be pretty shocked if they didn't bring you along. So
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'll be there.
Maybe we'll do something fun.
I'm going to be busy as a whole bunch of curse words. That is for sure.
That's going to be fun, and I'm looking forward to going. There's a lot of people I haven't seen in a while, so...
Yeah.
And I got to hang out with Bill. And we're actually trying to put together a road trip because, like I said, I have a converted camper van, which is just the coolest thing ever. Mm-hmm. And he's done the road trip where he's driven from out here all the way to Vegas and like spent a lot of time in Arizona, and I've never done that. So hopefully this year we'll get to go camper vanning our way across the country.
That'd be fun.
With three dogs, hopefully by the time you see me in Vegas, I'll be tanned and well rested and all outdoorsy. Nice. Not like the bleak, pale Victorian child I am right now.
So. Would you be bringing all three dogs, or would you be boarding them when you go?
Oh no, no, absolutely not. Taylor Swift is not going to the desert. She's a weird dog. She's a weird dog. We'll probably start the trip by like detouring down through Georgia and like going that way and dropping all the dogs off with my parents.
Nice. That's a good
idea. I'm pretty sure I asked them. If not, hey guys, can you watch the dogs? Cool. Hey, thanks. Love you guys so much. Yes. So
cool.
They can deal with Taylor Swift, the very weird dog, for a couple weeks.
Cool.
Yeah. But if you want to learn more about Taylor Swift, the weird dog, I post her on my Instagram stories doing strange stuff all the time. You know what, Scott? If you ask enough about Taylor Swift, I'll bring her to Vegas and just give her to you. And you can hang out. She can be the Imagine mascot. She'll poop on the floor and scream in people's faces. And just, you can borrow her anytime you want.
My daughter is so afraid of tiny dogs. It's the funniest thing. Yeah. Like, bigger dogs, she'll go up and pet them and snuggle them, but like it's the little ones that freak out.
Honestly, little dogs are creepy. And they're generally really, a mean hyper. Little dog to me is really freaky.
Yeah, it's so funny. Anyway,
we'll leave it with that. This conversation has taken some turns, but hopefully there was some educational content in here for the people.
Yeah, there's a lot of good nuggets for everybody to walk away with. So thank you. Thank you. We're going to end
Anybody listening to this, if you have questions, like, your Imagine Facebook group is great. People can always email me. Like, I think everyone should be using this, so I'm glad to help as much as possible.
Thank you. That's a great way to end it.
Anytime. I'm going to go make another cup of coffee, which is surely going to be great for my heart rate.
Thank you so much, Susan, for that incredible conversation, for sharing all of your insights and knowledge with the Imagine community.
You have been listening to Workflows, presented by Imagine. To hear more from Workflows and to find a link to our guest, please go to imagine-ai.com/podcast. Be a part of the conversation by joining the Imagine community at imagine-ai.com/community. And be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you for tuning in. Until next time.